It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
That keeps me alive, let me tell you right now, is number one, I'm right. Number two, I'm willing to die for what I believe in, which means a lot of them are going to die if they come up here and try to kill me or arrest me, because I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air.
On infiltration instead of invasion. On subversion instead of elections. On intimidation instead of free choice. On guerrillas by night instead of armies by day.
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific and political operations.
In God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silent, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists. Freedom and fear are at war.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A new world order. When we are successful, and we will be, we will be. We have a real chance at this new world order.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1, with me, your host, John Wick. There have been many words that have gone down in history that have a complete new meaning today, as these broadcasts will have an entirely new meaning in the future.
People are waiting for relief.
I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far. They're going to be getting checks in the mail that are consequential this week for child care. A lot has been happened already, number one. Number two, I'm going to fight like heck to get them the rest of what I think has to be done. I'm going to be going around the country, spending time making the case to the American people that this isn't about showing an identification that this is who I am when I vote. This isn't just about whether or not, you can provide water for someone standing in line while they're waiting to vote. This is about who gets to judge whether your vote counted after it's been cast. Think about it. Don't dismiss it at all. Just remind them, I wrote the bill on the environment. Why would I not be for it? Employers can't find workers. I said, yeah, pay them more. This is an employees bargaining chip now.
Wow. What a work of art, huh? Welcome to the broadcast tonight. This buffoon, fool, moron, just never ceases to amaze me. I can't even believe we're having to play his vocal cords across the airwaves, and some people even considering him to even be the president of the United States, of which he is not. All kinds of news tonight. You know, it's interesting. Over the past week, we made it through another week, by the way, didn't we? Yeah, it's 6/26/2021. Well, we made it through the week, and throughout the week, I mean, it's just been an absolute deluge of news stories. All kinds of things to talk about tonight. You know, John McAfee, right? Found hanging in a jail cell in Spain. And then, one of the places that he mentioned within his... what was it, Twitter, maybe? Where this X amount of terabytes of information was being held and kept as a dead man's switch. Well, lo and behold, the building holding said information has the whole side of it fall and collapse into its own footprint down there in Miami. If you didn't know that, I just want to thank some folks here that do some due diligent research and came across such things. You know, isn't it interesting for which the times we live? Now, to get into, I guess, you know, the full-on broadcast of tonight, I mean, it's a hodgepodge of a little bit of everything this evening. But I find this on the paramount forefront of what we can see and possibly expect to have happen in the not-too-distant future here in this country. And I'll just read this. It says, from Event 201 to Cyber Polygon, the WEF's simulation of a coming cyber pandemic. Last year, the World Economic Forum teamed up with the Russian government and global banks to run a high-profile cyber attack simulation that targeted the financial industry. An actual event that would pave the way for a reset of the global economy. All right, have we heard this before? The Great Reset. The simulation named Cyber Polygon, and we've got fireworks going off in the background too. Don't mind that. We might even have a few rumbles of thunder and lightning and all that good stuff too as well. I'm surprised I was even able to hear that with my headset on. I don't know if you heard it out there across the listening land, but nonetheless, yes, fireworks. The simulation, named Cyber Polygon, may have been more than a typical planning exercise and bears similarities to the WEF-sponsored pandemic simulation event 201 that briefly preceded the COVID-19 crises. On Wednesday, the World Economic Forum, along with Russia's Sberbank and its cybersecurity subsidiary, BuyZone, announced that a new global cyber attack simulation would take place this coming July to instruct participants in developing secure ecosystems by simulating a supply chain cyber attack similar to the recent SolarWinds hack that would assess the cyber resilience of these exercises participants. On the newly updated event website, the simulation called Cyber Polygon 2021 ominously warns that given the digitalization trends largely spurred by the COVID-19 crisis, a single vulnerable link is enough to bring down the entire system, just like the domino effect, adding that a secure approach to digital development today will determine the future of humanity for decades to come. The exercise comes several months after the WEF, the International Organization for Public-Private Cooperation, that counts the world's richest elite among its members, formally announced its movement for a Great Reset, yes, of which I just mentioned a minute ago, which would involve the coordinated transition to a fourth industrial revolution global economy in which human workers become increasingly irrelevant. This revolution, including its biggest proponent, WEF founder Klaus Schwab, has previously presented a major problem for WEF members and member organizations in terms of what will happen to the masses of people left unemployed by the increasing automation and digitalization in the workplace. Well, I mean, I've got another question to ask here. How many people are going to survive the onslaught of the vaccination damages and deaths due to such things? You know, that plays a part within all of this. You know, everything that they do is a multifaceted plan, folks. We've come to understand this of their playbook. New economic systems that are digitally based and either partnered with or run by central banks are a key part of the WEF's Great Reset. And such systems would be part of the answer to controlling the masses of the recently unemployed. And others have noted these digital monopolies, not just financial services, would allow those who control them to turn off a person's money and access to services if that individual does not comply with certain laws, mandates, and regulations. The WEF has been actively promoting and creating such systems and has most recently taken to calling its preferred model stakeholder capitalism, though advertised as a more inclusive form of capitalism. Stakeholder capitalism would essentially fuse the public and private sectors, creating a system much more like Mussolini's corporatist style of fascism than anything else. Yet, to usher in this new and radically different system, the current corrupt system must somehow collapse in its entirety, and its replacement must be successfully marketed to the masses as somehow better than its predecessor. When the world's most powerful people, such as members of the WEF, desire to make radical changes, crises conveniently emerge. Whether a war, a plague, or economic collapse that enable a reset of the system, which is frequently accompanied by a massive upward transfer of wealth. In recent decades, such events have often been preceded by simulations that come thick and fast before the very event they were meant to prevent takes place. Recent examples include the 2020 U.S. election and COVID-19. One of these events, Event 201, was co-hosted by the World Economic Forum in October of 2019 and simulated a novel coronavirus pandemic that spreads around the world and causes major disruptions to the global economy, just a few weeks before the first case of COVID-19 appeared. Cyber Polygon 2021 is merely the latest such simulation co-sponsored by the World Economic Forum. The forum's current agenda and its past track record of hosting prophetic simulations demands that the exercise be scrutinized. Though CyberPolygon 2021 is months off, it was preceded by CyberPolygon 2020, a similar WEF-sponsored simulation that took place last July in which speakers warned of a coming deadly pandemic of cyber attacks that would largely target two economic sectors, healthcare and finance. Oh, and I wanted to make sure that I reiterate, right? What was it that Joe Biden gave to Vlad Putin? You know, 16 areas of critical infrastructure that are completely hands-off if there was to ever be an attack on the United States. Well, why don't you just hand him the key to the White House, dumbass? Moving on. CyberPolygon 2020 was officially described as international online training for raising global cyber resilience and involved many of the world's biggest tech companies and international authorities from IBM to Interpol. There were also many surprising participants at the event, some of whom have been traditionally seen as opposed to Western imperial interests. For example, the person chosen to open the CyberPolygon event was the Prime Minister of the Russian Federation, Mikhail Mishustin, and its main host, Bizone, was a subsidiary of the Russian government-controlled Sberbank. This suggests that the overused Russian hacker narrative may be coming to an end or will soon be switched out for another boogeyman more suitable in light of current political realities. Look no further than who they've been blaming for everything else here in this country over the past, you know, well, you would just say 10 years, you know, those evil white people, those Christians. You know, that's where it's going, man. I've read several news articles today in proportion to what I just said. So, yes, you know, they have to create the boogeyman to get their gained results of which they've exercised for, right? Kind of like ISIS over there in Syria in 2013 after the Bilderberg meeting convened and Obama gave the green light. You know, I mean, you want the truth, right? That's why you come here and listen to these broadcasts from our broadcasting platform here. You know, see, we're not going to lead you astray. And if we do stumble somewhere off the path a little bit, at least we are going to come back and make a redaction and say, hey, man, I was wrong about that. This is the fact of the matter, or this is what we found out. But I'm here to tell you they are planning this right now, the complete and total utter shutdown of all utilities across this country, if not many other countries around the world, as we've seen with some countries losing total power over the past 2 or 3 months. Aside from Mishustin, WEF Executive Director Klaus Schwab and former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair participated in the CyberPolygon 2020 event, which is due to be repeated annually and bears many similarities to 2019's event 201. Rather than preparing for a potential medical pandemic, CyberPolygon 2020 focused on preparing for a cyber pandemic, one that mainstream media outlets like The New Yorker claim is already underway, given the WEF's recent simulations. Powerful billionaire business owners and bankers appear to be poised to use both physical and digital pandemics to reform our societies according to their own design and for their own benefit. According to Russian cybersecurity firm Bizone, that's BIZONE, all capitalized, if anybody wanted to look into it, 120 organizations spread over 29 countries took part in the two scenarios that were simulated at CyberPolygon 2020, with as many as 5 million people allegedly having watched the live stream in over 57 countries. Like many events that took place in 2020, the CyberPolygon simulations were conducted online due to COVID-19 restrictions. Have you not noticed that this COVID-19 thing has been the perfect cover up for a lot of shady, shady deals that have been exacted? Nonetheless, together with the World Economic Forum, Bizone, a subsidiary of Sberbank, manages the Cyber Polygon project. Sberbank's largest shareholder, as of last year, is the Russian government, and it is thus often described by English-language media outlets as a state-controlled bank. Oh, would that be something kind of like the IMF and trying to take over the rest of the world's banking systems? Okay, that, oh, yeah, they can't have that, can they? They can't have anything going up against the IMF because, my goodness. The 2020 event was launched with an address from the Prime Minister of the Russian Federation, Mishustin, who has a history of courting Western tech companies prior to entering politics. In 1989, Mishustin graduated from Moscow State Technological University, generally known as Stankin, with a qualification in systems engineering. During the 1990s, he worked at the International Computer Club, a nonprofit organization with the goal of attracting Western advanced information technologies to Russia. Between 1996 and 1998, Mishustin was the chairman of the board of the ICC, but the company was liquidated in 2016. Between 2010 and 2020, he served as head of the Federal Taxation Service of the Russian Federation. Even though he had never shown any previous political ambitions, on January 16, 2020, he was appointed Prime Minister of the Russian Federation by an executive order issued by President Putin. That's interesting, don't you come to find? During Mishustin's welcoming remarks at the WEF's Cyber Polygon 2020, the Russian Prime Minister warned of the need to create public policy to strengthen the digital security of critical activities without undermining the benefits from digital transformation in critical sectors that would unnecessarily restrict the use and openness of digital technology. The statement suggests that unnecessary restrictions could become seen as necessary in time. Mishustin goes on to explain that Russia's post-COVID economic recovery will be based on the increasing digitalization of that economy and government, adding that we will drastically increase the number of available digital public services and introduce fundamentally new support measures for digital businesses. He also stated that Russia has developed a common national system of identification and the prevention of cyber attacks with the government agency's information systems linked in the system. He also addressed the Cyber Polygon audience about the international community needing to come together to prevent a global cyber fraud pandemic. Well, I mean, who would stand to benefit from such things? I mean, have we not seen what has happened? What was it there to JBS, a meat processing plant here in the West? The Colonial Pipeline that was shut down there. Making it almost damn near impossible for people to get gasoline. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on. And don't you find it interesting, you know, all of the timing with all of this stuff going on, you know, now McAfee, John McAfee winds up dead hanging in a jail cell in Spain. Man. Well, you know, he must have knew a thing or two. And by goodness, we couldn't have a man that has some form of knowledge how a lot of this stuff works still in the forefront of the people's eye. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with Julian Assange, is it not? Edward Snowden. You know, I've got so much stuff to go through tonight, and this will take me forever to get through the rest of this. I'm not going to do it. But hey, so just know, I want you to be aware, and just know that they plan on completely shutting everything off. My goodness. But, you know, I mean, that's just one very small snippet of the news that's gone on over the week and of what's coming. I mean, people have been talking about that for the past couple of weeks, but nonetheless, you know, here's another one maybe you were not aware of. The National Guard just simulated a cyber attack that brought down the utilities nationwide. June 23rd, 2021, 3 days ago. National Guardsmen just completed a two-week training exercise, which saw them respond to a simulated cyber attack that took out critical utilities across the United States. The exercises have become an annual event, but this year took on even more significance after coming on the heels of several major ransomware and cyber attacks that crippled large parts of American infrastructure in recent months. The exercises were part of the 7th Cyber Yankee, a training event that brings together guardsmen from throughout the New England region to test their responses against simulated cyber attacks. This year's exercises simulated a cyber attack that targeted utilities on the West Coast before spreading east across the United States towards New England, in addition to offering hands-on training on how to respond to active cyber attacks. The exercise was also intended to build cyber defense collaboration between the National Guard and private sector partners. The FBI, the Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and U.S. Cyber Command, among others. And by God, if me saying all of that does not have NSA stations just going off the hook. All right. So continuing on here, I do not stand to do no harm. Just inform the masses, if you would. So we do it in an exercise environment so that when it does happen, we've already got those relationships established, not just from a National Guard, but from all of our critical infrastructure, our federal, local, state partners, said Major Ryan Miller, M-I-L-E-R. State Cyber Operations Officer for the Connecticut Army National Guard. Quote, says here, we've established those lines of communication and then it's that much easier to get together and respond, end quote. Well, I mean, I can understand, eh? This year's Cyber Yankees saw the annual exercise's first use of the new Cyber 9 line system, developed by U.S. Cyber Command, or U-S-C-Y-B-E-R-C-O-M. You know, U.S. Cybercom. Cyber 9 line offers National Guard cyber units a template of questions that allow them to quickly communicate the specifics of a suspected cyber attack up the chain of command to U.S. Cyber Command. Once U.S. Cyber Command has that information from Cyber 9 line, it can then more quickly and efficiently diagnose that attack and offer information back to the reporting unit, who can then share that intel among affected local governments and industry partners. The Cyber 9 line is still in its infancy, but after standing up this program a few months ago, we have already seen an impact, said U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Pacini, CNMF. Future Operations Deputy Chief is in a U.S. Cyber Command press release last year. Quote, ultimately, the goal is to provide mutual support to each other, end quote. The Cyber 9 line questionnaire is similar to other 9 line formats used by U.S. Armed Forces for requests such as medical evacuation or close air support. Lieutenant Colonel Cameron Sprague, Chief Information Officer for the Connecticut Air National Guard and Deputy Exercise Director for this year's Cyber Yankee, said that the simulated cyber attacks were designed to be a realistic and be as realistic and complex as possible in order to prepare for the types of incidents becoming more and more common across the country. It's really hard to do an exercise like this effectively. Many cyber exercises involve activities that resemble a game of capture the flag, which are too easy and aren't necessarily applicable to real-world crises. Operating effectively in an incident response environment is really hard. That's what a lot of teams first take away when they're walking through this, is how we're actually going to do an incident response plan. That's the big point of this, he says. Exercise leaders said that the teams conducting mock attacks offer the National Guard an opportunity to have a better idea what to expect in the event of actual cyber attacks and ransomware operations. If you know how your enemies conduct attacks, you can be better prepared to defend against them. Well, yes, I will agree with that. Last year's Cyber Yankee exercises saw over 200 guardsmen come together to combat various cyber threats. The Guardsmen were divided into four blue teams tasked with responding to simulated cyber attacks, a red cell which conducted those attacks, and a white cell which regulated and assessed event operations. U.S. Army Colonel Woody Groton, who directed last year's Cyber Yankee, said in 2020 that the exercise is designed to pit guardsmen against the same types of cyber threats currently faced by U.S.-based companies and infrastructure. Cybersecurity, especially in critical infrastructure and state government, is a huge issue right now. You can see it in the news every day. Ransomware attacks are on the rise. Loss of data, loss of intellectual property. It's hard to keep up with the adversary. We've also, in the last several years, seen significant uptick in cyber attacks and attempted cyber attacks against the electrical industry and water. By training on this ahead of time, we're better prepared in case of an actual incident. Cyber attacks on civilian infrastructure have taken precedence as a national security concern in recent years, as they have become more common and crippling. A ransomware attack that shut down the United States' largest fuel pipeline in May of 2021. You know, it's like we're speaking of this like as if it was years ago, right? Well, I mean, I guess it is buried underneath that many more headlines of news over just the past few weeks since that incident took place. But leading to fuel shortages on some parts of the East Coast. Officials for Georgia-based Colonial Pipeline eventually paid close to $5 million in ransom to end the cyber attack, of which the FBI was later able to recover some 85% in the form of cryptocurrency. A similar ransomware cyber attack followed on the heels of the Colonial Pipeline attack in June of 2021. This time was against the world's largest meat processing company. It's not just large private sector entities who are under attack, however, as ransomware attacks against local governments and institutions are increasing at an alarming rate across the U.S. In one example, a National Guard unit in Louisiana thwarted a cyber attack on government offices in 2020 that was suspected to have originated from North Korea and possibly have been related to elections in that state. While many of these attacks have been reported to have been perpetrated by criminal organizations rather than state actors, many fingers have been pointed in the direction of the Russian government. Yes, it's them just saying, scary Russians over there, you know. Watch out. No, man. You want the fact of the matter? It's probably China. How about we start pointing the finger that direction a little bit more? Hell, they've infiltrated every single aspect of our society through espionage in all sectors. So, yeah, I think it might be a little bit more feasible to look at China. I mean, we wouldn't want to look too hard, would we? I mean, we wouldn't want to, you know, have to realize the state secrets that were sold out from the Clintons to the Chinese in the early 1990s. You know, what would it be, 91, 92, more specifically? Let's go going on here. It says some attacks have even been presumed to have originated directly from Russian intelligence services, such as the 2020 cyber attack on the information technology management company SolarWinds, which led to the breaches of servers owned by U.S. government entities and private companies alike. Russia denied any involvement in the attack. Oh, my goodness. You know, we cover this pretty in-depthly, right? And we've talked about all these things as they've come breaking into the news cycle. And this SolarWinds 2020 cyber attack type thing, hey, guess what? That had a lot to do with the election interference and things to this effect. All you got to do is do a little bit of research. I assure you, you'll find it. Continuing on here, it says, I can assure you that we are raising this through the highest levels of the U.S. government. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, Circleback Psaki, said in the wake of the meat processing ransomware attack in June, the president certainly believes that we should circle back. That President Putin has a role to play in stopping and preventing these attacks. Cyber attacks and ransomware plots took center stage at the recent summit between U.S. President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva. Oh. Biden reportedly gave Putin a list. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, Biden reportedly gave Putin a list of 16 critical American infrastructure sectors that the White House wants Russia to accept as off limits. Well, I mean, my God, just give them all the rest of the state secrets, don't you? Why don't you? Well, I mean, hell, China's already got them all. I mean, hell, why not give them to Russia, too? From cyber attacks, including energy and water utilities, Putin, meanwhile, said Russia had nothing to do with the Colonial Pipeline attack and instead claimed the United States is responsible for most of the world's cyber attacks. The White House recently announced that it would elevate some ransomware attacks to a similar priority as terrorist attacks and would create a new task force to allow various government agencies at multiple levels to coordinate information, sharing the responses to cyber attacks. It's a specialized process to ensure we track all ransomware cases, regardless of where it may be referred in this country. So you can make the connections between actors and work your way up to disrupt the whole chain, said John Carlin, Principal Associate Deputy Attorney General at the Justice Department. The Biden administration, or regime, signed an executive order in May of 2021 aimed at strengthening and modernizing cybersecurity defenses throughout the federal government, including the intelligence community and Department of Defense. As recent events have shown, cyber attacks don't have to disable missile defense systems or satellites to inflict damage and cause major disruptions. Cyber attacks on private companies like Colonial Pipeline can do just as much harm by interrupting fuel supply operations. While a ransomware attack on a commercial electrical utility company could, no doubt, cause massive damage as the basic sustainment and public safety systems the nation depends upon daily go dark. We can likely expect exercises like Cyber Yankee to ramp up and become more complex as the cyber threat continues to proliferate and the U.S. government finds more ways to mitigate and defend against it. Well, isn't it interesting, you know, all these times, the times that we're living in and we're seeing this, I mean, it's almost reminiscent to a new Cold War, right? I mean, yeah, we've got an absolute massive arms race going on right now. But if you think about the arms race in the cyber area, which I was just bringing to you, you know, I mean, it just screams to me, somebody needs a war. They need a war. They want a war. Well, I mean, why? Well, because if you can, you know, run both sides of the profiteering on a war, well, you can become filthy, filthy rich. Here's a story that you may not have seen. I stumbled upon this. And it's interesting to say the least. Because you think that we're under attack from not only, you know, the cyber and the espionage and all these different forms and fashions. Well, I mean, something just as generalized as an extremely advanced drone can play havoc, too. So a police helicopter crew says mysterious craft they chased was not like any other drone. Says here, we obtained the Tucson Police Department report that shows its helicopter crew was baffled by the drone they pursued earlier this year. In February 2021, what was described as a highly modified drone was able to evade and outrun helicopters operated by both U.S. Customs and Border Protection and the Tucson Police Department after entering sensitive airspace. An FBI investigation was announced shortly after in which the Bureau sought the public's help for information related to the case. The now obtained TPD's official case summary report from the incident, which shows the air crews aboard the two helicopters that chased the drone were mystified by the capabilities that it displayed. The drone was first spotted above fuel tanks just west of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and flew into controlled airspace surrounding the base and Tucson International Airport after the TPD and CBP helicopters began their pursuit. The law enforcement helicopters followed the drone northwest of the city before losing it in the clouds around 14,000 feet. The CBP was operating an Airbus AS-350 on the night of the incident, while sources close to the investigation tell us the Tucson PD air support was flying a Bell 206B-3 Jet Ranger. The story of the mysterious drone encounter above Tucson was first broken by Dan Maries of KOLD News, a local CBS affiliate out of Tucson. Let's see here. There's a tweet by Dan Maries. The FBI is investigating the near miss of a high-powered drone and a CBP Arizona helicopter near Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. The special agent I just interviewed says this is the first of its kind case in Tucson. Marie shared details about the drone with the war zone following the initial reporting, telling us that the FBI agents involved with the case said that the drone was reported to be highly modified, made erratic maneuvers, and even strayed into military airspace while reaching an altitude of 14,000 feet and maintaining speeds in excess of 100 miles per hour into a headwind. That's not just your off the store shelf personalized drone, okay? And you don't think that, you know, there are foreign militaries probing our borders and our airspaces? Well, by God, yes, they are. I've done many reports of them, of said incursions. You know, one of the more interesting ones I'd read about was the ones that took place over in the Philippines around this military installation for knocking down intercontinental ballistic missiles. Drones literally coming in and flying all around these missile platforms that the U.S. has set up over there in the islands. But I mean, you know, yeah, it's going to happen here in the States too. I mean, come on. You don't think this country doesn't have enemies? I mean, I'm not, you know, trying to get into too much of it, but I mean, look. Look what this country's done over the past several years. Look where it's putting itself. Look at all the absolute maiming chaos and abject horror that it's executed upon foreign nations. So to say we haven't got enemies would just be stupid. And I can almost assure you that said enemies are staging on the northern and southern borders. But still, you know, I mean, you can say that until the cows come home and everybody's just going to laugh in your face. Oh, that's stupid. Why would they do that? Yeah, that's right. Just shut up. Go sit down in the corner. I'll give you your crayons and your piece of paper. Going 100 miles an hour into a headwind. In an interview on KOLD, the FBI agent familiar with the case reported that the FBI isn't sure if the drone was a quadcopter or hexcopter configuration. Thanks to a TPD records request, the war zone can confirm details about the drone's alleged flight capabilities and flight path as reported by the TPD helicopter crew in their official case summary report. For one, we can now pinpoint the initial location the drone was spotted by the Tucson PD air crew, the corner of East Ajo Way and South Palo Verde Road, directly adjacent to a fuel terminal operated by emergency company or energy. Why am I mixing energy and emergency up tonight? Energy company Kinder Morgan and just west of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Now, it's got a map here showing where this thing was. The case summary also confirms our earlier reporting that the drone featured a single green light on its underbody and was difficult for the TPD helicopter spotter to observe through night vision goggles. Note that the report states that no video recording was made of the incident by the TPD. The report's notes narrative section authored by the TPD's helicopter's tactical flight officer then details how the drone maneuvered all over the city while flying above 10,000 feet, all while behaving in a manner to hamper the TPD's crew's ability to attract it visually. The TBD crew also reported that the drone appeared to move in an erratic pattern as if the signal with its home station was getting weaker as it flew northwest out of the city. The flight officer then reports the drone was last seen at an altitude in excess of 12,000 feet, flying over 65 knots or 74 miles per hour. The report supplemented notes section was authored by the helicopter's pilot and details the coordination between the TPD Tucson Air Traffic Control and the CBP helicopter crew. The TPD helicopter pilot wrote that the crew had hoped the UAS, I would like to know what UAS stands for, by the way, because I don't think it's noted in here. But nonetheless, we're speaking in reference to the drone, right? Had hoped that the UAS would exhaust its battery reserves and be forced to land, but that, unfortunately, this was not the case. The pilot also stated that the drone was very sophisticated and or specialized and was able to perform like no other UAS. He had observed previously able to fly circles around his helicopter as the TPD pursued it up to 14,000 feet at speeds well in excess of 100 miles per hour. The pilot also felt that it was obvious that the controller had clear sight of both the helicopters tracking it by the way it would orbit us and abruptly fly behind us in an attempt to avoid our visual contact. The pilot recounts that the TPD helicopter tracked the drone for over an hour as it flew into 40-mile-per-hour headwinds while maintaining 100-mile-per-hour airspeeds. Despite tracking the drone extensively, the pilot notes that the crew was unable to get a good visual on it. Although we could not determine its exact size or characteristics, we primarily tracked it by a single green non-blinking light illuminating from the craft. The report reads, eventually both the TPD and CBP helicopters had to disengage their pursuit in order to refuel after losing the drone in cloud cover around 12,000 feet. Says it is unknown what the intentions of the sophisticated UAS were during its time near the U.S. Air Force Base, or how far away its organization, origination, and or destination spot was. The pilot concluded, adding, it was quite clear, though, that this was not like any other UAS that we have experienced. Sources close to the investigation tell the war zone that while the TPD regularly encounters drones in the air, they are typically small, off-the-shelf quadcopter models. Despite these details coming to light in the case of the mysterious highly modified drone seen above Tucson, it remains unclear what exact type of configuration would allow for the flight characteristics described in this newly obtained police report. It certainly seems as if its pilot was highly experienced given the fact that the drone was able to run circles around the helicopters at high altitudes and speeds. The drone must have also possessed the ability to supply its pilot with superior situational awareness in order to pull off such feats. The fact that the drone appeared to maintain a high-quality command and control link suggests some fairly sophisticated hardware above what is commonly found on consumer quadcopter or hexcopter configurations, even higher-end models. It's also unlikely that this craft ran on battery power. Whatever it was, the flight characteristics the mysterious craft displayed above Tucson on the evening of February 9th are truly eyebrow-raising and only increase the bizarre and currently unexplained nature of the incident. Says they continue to investigate and are pursuing multiple FOIA requests related to this puzzling event. Well, I mean, is it really that puzzling? I mean, it isn't to me, honestly. It's not that puzzling. Some adversary is scoping our installations out. And it's been happening. I mean, what was it? About 4 or 5 weeks ago, I read a report from, it was a nuclear facility up in the northwestern part of the country that was being subjected to drone inundation. So shifting gears here, get away from some of this technological stuff, the cyber attacks and drones. I want to play the audio clip to this. If you hadn't heard, there was an encounter in the Black Sea over the past 2 or 3 days where a Russian warship fired warning shots at a British warship, forcing it to make hastily retreat from the waters that it was trying to get into. And I just want to play the audio clip here. This is actually, it was released by the Russian FSB, and it's footage of the incident with British destroyer at sea. So check it out.
Три раза вправо. Если зайдет за границу далее 10 кабель, да. Zulu Lima Unawan. Zulu Lima Unawan. Change your course to starboard. I'll be fired. Zulu Lima 101. Zulu Lima 101. Your course lead to prohibited area. In this area, innocent passage is out at short time for warship and other government's vessel or for region state. Please change your course. Please change your course to starboard. And keep clear. And keep clear. Please follow outside. Keep away. All from borderline, for to avoid incidents, for to avoid incidents, change your course to starboard and follow clear. Do you read me over?
So, before I continue with this, it does go on for about 5 or 6 minutes or so. And for whatever reason, I'm getting a little bit of background interference, so I shouldn't be getting anything like that. You know, I think it's important that we duly note these incidents, as we have them unfold, because folks, like I said, they need a war. They want a war. And by God, they're almost stopping at nothing to get that said war. You know, the vessel did, make a hastily retreat, but I mean, they were fairly, close to each other. During this encounter, and they did fire warning shots, of which the warning shots are within the audio of the rest of this here. Let's just get to it.
Responsibility if your vessel will damage endangered area. Over. Всех судов, а также воздушных судов. Выполняю артиллерийские стрельбы. Держаться в стороне. Держаться в стороне. Я, Вильбот 364, прием. All the vessels in area, Violent Cape, at distance from coast, 1-1 nautical miles. I'm Russian Coast Guard ship. I'll have artilleristic fire. This area is danger for navigation. Please, attention and keep away from me. Over. Аметист. Я проворный. Выполнить предупредительную стрельбу. Как понял, прием. Подтверди. По курсу Дефендера. По курсу Дефендера. Исключить попадание в Дефендер. Подтверди, прием.
Начальники, внимательно следим за Дефендером.
Дефендер и воздух.
Начальники, следим за Дефендером, анетистом и воздухом.
Правый борт 0. АП 2 и ГП.
Есть.
Длина короткий. Огонь!
Есть длина короткий. Огонь!
We are conducting innocent passage along Route 90, and we will continue to carry our operations into international waters. Over.
That sounds like a damn good idea, right? They're poking the bear, they keep poking the bear, and they look for a response. And I'm hoping, like God, that countries don't get the response they're hoping for from the Russians. But like I said, they do need a new war, and they are striving effortlessly to get said war. Now, moving on, we've got some more articles here to go through. This is interesting. If we can read it, I'm assuming we can. Yeah, we can. Here we go. This was just over the past week here, too, I think, right? So, June 20th, 2021, Iran's Seoul nuclear power plant undergoes emergency shutdown. Tehran, Iran. Iran's Seoul nuclear power plant has undergone an unexplained temporary emergency shutdown, the state TV reported on Sunday. An official from state electric company Tavernier Golamali Rakshmer said on a talk show that the Bushehr plant shutdown began on Saturday and would last for 3 to 4 days. Without elaborating, he said that power outages could result. This is the first time Iran has reported an emergency shutdown of the plant, located in the southern port city of Bushehr. It went online in 2011 with help from Russia. Iran is required to send spent fuel rods from the reactor back to Russia as a nuclear non-proliferation measure. Earlier on Sunday, Tavernier released a statement saying that the nuclear plant was being repaired. Without offering further details, it said the repair would work would take until Friday, I'm assuming so yesterday. In March, nuclear official Mahmoud Jafari said that the plant could stop working since Iran cannot procure parts and equipment for it from Russia due to banking sanctions imposed by the United States in 2018. Bushehr is fueled by uranium produced in Russia, not Iran, and is monitored by the United Nations International Atomic Energy Agency. The IAEA did not immediately respond to requests for comment on the reported shutdown. Construction on Bushehr, on the coast of the northern reaches of the Persian Gulf, began under Iran's Shah in the mid-1970s. After the 1979 Islamic Revolution, the plant was repeatedly targeted in the Iran-Iraq War. Russia later completed construction of the facility. The plant, which sits near active fault lines and was built to withstand powerful quakes, has been periodically shaken by tremors. There have been no significant earthquakes reported in the area in recent days. Well, I mean, would it be too much to say that they might have been hit by a cyber attack? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there for conjecture, right? Now, here is another nuclear plant in trouble. Hong Kong is watching a Chinese nuclear plant after a leak is reported. This came out June 15th, 2021. China's government says no abnormal radiation has been detected outside a nuclear power plant near Hong Kong following a news report of a leak, while Hong Kong's leader says her administration is closely watching the facility. China's government said Tuesday no abnormal radiation was detected outside a nuclear power plant near Hong Kong following a news report of a leak. While Hong Kong's leader said her administration was watching closely, well, yes, as we just stated, the operators released few details, but nuclear experts said that based on their brief statement, gas might be leaking from fuel rods inside the reactor in Taishan, 135 kilometers or 85 miles west of Hong Kong. In Beijing, Foreign Ministry spokesperson Zhao Lixian gave no confirmation of a leak or other details. He responded to reporters' questions by saying, "There is nothing abnormal detected in the radiation levels surrounding the plant." In Hong Kong, radiation levels Tuesday were normal, according to the Hong Kong Observatory. Framatome, a French company that helps manage the Taishan nuclear power plant in Guangdong province, said Monday it was dealing with a performance issue. It said the facility was operating within safe limits. That followed a report by CNN that Framatome told U.S. authorities about a possible leak. Quote, with regards to foreign media reports from a nuclear plant in Taishan, Guangzhou, the Hong Kong government attaches a high degree of importance to this, said Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam. She said her government would ask authorities in Guangdong for information and tell the public about any developments. China is one of the biggest users of nuclear power and is building more reactors at a time when few other governments have plans for new facilities because the cost of solar, wind, and other alternatives is plunging. Chinese leaders see nuclear power as a way to reduce their air pollution and demand for imports of oil and gas, which they deem a security risk. Government plans call for Hong Kong to use more mainland nuclear power to allow the closure of coal-fired power plants. The Taishan plant, which began commercial operation in December of 2018, is owned by China Guangdong Nuclear Power Group and Electricité de France, the majority owner of Framatome. A second reactor began operating in September of 2019. They are the first of a new type called European pressurized reactors. Two more are being built in Finland and France. CNN reported Framatome wrote to the U.S. Department of Energy warning of an imminent radiological threat and accusing Chinese authorities of raising acceptable limits for radiation outside the plant to avoid having to shut it down. U.S. officials believe there was no severe safety threat. Well, of course not. Look who's in power up there in D.C., supposedly, purportedly, right? Well, by God, they're in bed with the Chinese, up to their eyeballs. The Department of Energy declined to comment. The International Atomic Energy Agency, a UN body, told the Associated Press it was aware of the issue and was awaiting information from China. There is nothing we can do about it, said Li Tak, a Hong Kong retiree. Justin Santini, a teacher, noted that government officials have said it isn't a problem as of yet. Until more alarm bells are raised, it's probably premature to be concerned about it, he said. Electricité de France said Monday it was informed of the increase in concentration of certain noble gases in Taishan reactor number one. That suggests fuel rods are leaking gases produced during nuclear fission. According to Luke Bing Lam, an expert, themselves, Luke said, but he said this incident might be complicated if the Taishan plant uses U.S. technology that is covered by export restrictions. China's state-owned nuclear power companies are on Washington's entity list that bars them from obtaining U.S. technology without government approval. The French partner might ask for permission because Framatome previously licensed technology from Westinghouse, Luke said. With the situation now, that becomes difficult, he said. For even a small problem, they need U.S. government approval. China has 50 operable reactors and is building 18 more, according to a World Nuclear Association, an industry group. It is largely self-sufficient in reactor design and construction, but is making full use of Western technology while adapting and improving it. China has constructed reactors based on French, U.S., Russian, and Canadian technology and has developed its own Wulong 1 reactor based on Westinghouse technology, marketing it abroad since 2015. Hong Kong gets as much as one-third of its power from the Daya Bay nuclear power plant east of the territory in Guangdong. Luke, who has worked with the Chinese nuclear power plant operators, said he asked the company for information about the leak, but managers won't talk about it. I suspect the leakage is far more widespread than just a single assembly, he said. Because of that, they probably need some special technology to resolve this leakage problem. Previously, the Taishan facility leaked a small amount of radioactive gas on April 9th, the National Nuclear Safety Administration said on its website. It said the event was level zero or without safety significance. Sure. You really believe that? I don't. Zhao, the foreign ministry spokesperson, defended China's nuclear safety record and said the nuclear agency works with regulators in other countries and the IAEA. China's nuclear power plants have maintained a good record in operation and no incidents affecting the environment or public health have occurred, Zhao said. Well, if it had, you would never hear about it. Okay. What happens in China generally stays in China for the most part. Unless information is smuggled out some way. So, yeah, no good. I mean, my God, man. Any kind of nuclear energy is no good, in my own personal opinion. Just dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. So, moving on. Kind of going to shift some more gears here. Like I said, there's no firm context to tonight's broadcast. It's just kind of hit and miss here and there. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West and over 600 other military vets signed and released a letter denouncing Marxism in the U.S. and wokeness in the military. U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, retired, and over 600 U.S. military veterans released a letter denouncing Marxism and socialism in the United States, as well as wokeness. They see that is infiltrating the military. The U.S. military is not a social club. It has two purposes, to kill people and to break things. Okay, well. When you start introducing the racist critical race theory garbage and other Marxist-based policies that you end up with, is you no longer have the greatest military force in the world. Progressives do not understand the military. Otherwise, they would never have stooped so low as to do the things they have been implementing since Joe Biden stole the election. West and his committee to support and defend Project organized the letter along with the American Constitutional Rights Union, the ACRU, and says, U.S. former members of the U.S. military who have proudly served our nation, we write to express our support for constitutional freedom and liberty and our concern for our country as many powerful forces seek to bring socialism and Marxism to the land. I'm trying to take a look here and see how long some of these are. Because it has the full letter here. We're not going to read the full letter. Because, I mean, we'll run out of time. So, we'll just go through the rest of it here. It says, we oppose the politicization and ideological purging of our military. The focus of our military should be on training, readiness, and defense of our nation, not leftist cultural wokeness, the letter continued. U.S. Marine Major Dan Robill, retired, told American Military News that he decided to sign the letter because the Biden administration has described an effort to root out extremism. But what's clearly going on is the progressives are ramping up efforts to purge the ranks of political ideologies the progressives don't like. That means anyone to the right of Vladimir Lenin. They're not looking for Antifa people in the ranks. They're looking for people who, you know, are on the right, Rabil said. Basically, it's a signal. First of all, we're anti-white. And then secondly, we're anti-anybody who votes for the right or has affiliation with anything. You better be careful because we're going to separate you. We're going to come after you, it says. Rabil revealed that he served in the military all throughout the 1990s, and he felt that back then it wasn't blatantly political. His experience was the common philosophy was that everybody or everyone who entered the military began on an equal footing, and a meritocracy system made sure that those who applied themselves could succeed. That is the truest form of equality of opportunity, which includes everyone. It's a place and should be a place where everybody can get thrown in, the poor guy from the ghetto and the wealthy guy from not the ghetto. They go through the same training in boot camp and get deployed to the same place. The retired major said that he has concerns that the current efforts to politicize the military is to replace conservatives among the ranks to create a malleable Marxist-friendly force. Those who signed the letter are worried because they are getting reports being shared by lawmakers that members of U.S. forces are being told that whole military organizations are racist, and now service members are being ordered to segregate themselves by race and sex to create a hierarchical order that is based on a person's perceived privilege. Yeah, man, that's absolutely insane. That is government-sanctioned racism, and that is against federal law. The signers said that they pledged to serve the country, and the oath compels them to protect the country from the dangerous ideologies that are infiltrating the top ranks, who will then indoctrinate the troops. Quote, when we agree to serve our country, we pledge to support and defend the U.S. Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, end quote. The letter continues, quote, during our active duty service, we did just that. Today, although no longer active duty warriors, we are still bound to this pledge and believe we are ethically obligated to protect our country. As such, we put our nation's leadership on notice. We believe the hard left turn towards socialism and Marxism endangers our citizens and the future of this great nation. Although a difficult step to take, we believe this step is necessary for us to continue to demonstrate the integrity and moral courage our oath requires. End quote. Well, I mean, somebody has to speak up, right? Somebody has to do something. I mean, we are all doing our part. I'm doing my part. I am redistributing the information to the masses to paint you the true picture of what's going on, to see it for a form of fact, not some form of theory, and by God, it sure as hell is not a conspiracy. Next news story. Gunmen kill 15 in Mexico-U.S. border town. Did you hear about this? Maybe not. It was on the 21st. A handful of days ago, gunmen in sports utility vehicles shot some 14 people in different parts of the Mexican border city of Reynosa, according to reports on Sunday. Another person was reported to have been killed in an attack on police near a border bridge. Criminal activity in the city, which lies across the border from McAllen, Texas, has long been dominated by the Gulf cartel, but splits are thought to have developed in the gang. Local media reports on Sunday put the death toll as high as 18. The attacks began early Saturday afternoon in several neighborhoods in the eastern part of Reynosa, according to the Tamaulipas State Agency that coordinates security forces. The identity of the victims and the attackers was initially unknown, as well as the motive. Investigations were initiated to establish the cause of the homicides and locate those responsible, particularly in the surveillance and patrolling actions that are carried out in various parts of Reynosa, said an official report. The violence mobilized the Army, National Guard, State Police, and other agencies. Spiraling deaths in battle for control. Mexico has seen its two bloodiest years ever, with 34,681 recorded murders in 2019 and 34,554 in the year of 2020. Various cartels are battling for control of smuggling routes to the U.S. that are used to transport drugs, weapons, and people. Successive governments have failed to bring the crime syndicates under control. Many have accused law enforcement and the judiciary of colluding with the gangs or of having succumbed wholesale to corruption. Spiraling homicide statistics, instability, and high levels of corruption have led some U.S. commentators to conclude that Mexico is on the path to becoming a failed state. Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's beyond a failed state already. It has been. Current President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador has said he wants to fight cartels with hugs, not bullets. Get right out there and go give them hugs there, Obrador. Lopez Obrador has criticized past administrations for their policies that prioritized the removal of cartel leaders. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has declined to pass judgment on the policy, saying he does not know what it means in practice. Well, yeah, I mean, I've done many, many, many reports about the southern border there and all the horrific things going on. And I don't see any time soon that any of that's going to stop. And you are not going to become the president of Mexico unless you have the tidings of the cartels. Okay? See here. I don't know if you've seen this video or heard of the story. But it is absolutely, utterly shocking. Puerto Rican couple are yanked from their car and shot by a mob of black men in Chicago. Says there has been crickets in the media about this possible hate crime. The shooting took place as people were leaving Chicago's 43rd annual Puerto Rican People's Day parade, which people came from all over the country and Puerto Rico travel to the city to attend. The victims had a large Puerto Rican flag waving from their car when they were approached by a mob of black men and pulled from the vehicle and shot. Police say the couple was ambushed by up to three males. ABC 7 reports that the man was rushed to St. Mary and Elizabeth Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead, police said. He has not been identified. The woman was struck in the neck and rushed to Struger Hospital in critical condition. Was it the last refugee? Or the last refuge, excuse me, last refuge, on Twitter says, this is a racist attack. This is what MSM will never talk about because it doesn't fit their narrative. Puerto Ricans pulled out of their vehicle and shot by black attackers. Latino versus black is a common cultural conflict. And the video is in itself is absolutely horrendous. I mean, it's just outright unbelievable that such forms of criminality can be conducted here within the streets of this country. And the bastards responsible for it are not held to account. Absolutely ridiculous. What is it that needs to be done here? I don't know. I don't have the answers for it. But I mean, I do know that one of the answers is to be armed and defend yourself if your life is threatened. If you cannot retreat, if you cannot make escape, defend yourself, okay? There's an old saying, and it goes like this. It's better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6, okay? If you don't know what that means, you better figure it out. GOP candidate's rival allegedly recorded in secret talking about sending hit squad to kill opponent. Yes, primaries have a tendency to shine a light on the more unsavory elements of American political parties. For instance, Augustus Sol Invictus, who openly identified as a fascist and ran as a libertarian in 2016 for a U.S. Senate seat representing Florida, came under fire after it was revealed that he sacrificed a goat and drank its blood, all part of a bizarre ritual honoring the god of the wilderness. Huh, you pagan heathen, you. But psychopaths aren't limited to third parties. Sometimes these punks inhabit our own circles and provoke a need to examine ourselves. Ted William Braddock, for example, he's running as a Republican for a Tampa Bay area seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, and in a video recording obtained by Politico, made a series of outlandish and disturbing threats towards his Republican primary opponent, Anna Paulina Luna. In a secretly recorded 30-minute call with conservative activist Aaron Olszewski, before he became a candidate, Braddock allegedly said, quote, I really don't want to have to end anybody's life for the good of the people of the United States of America, end quote, referring to Luna. That will break my heart. But if it needs to be done, it needs to be done. Luna is a effing speed bump in the road. She's a dead squirrel you run over every day when you leave the neighborhood. My goodness. I mean, do you see the mentality here? Right? It's just about like that bat-cap bureaucrat over there on the West Coast or there in California that said, well, if they don't just give up their guns, well, we'll just nuke them. You'll nuke us? Or you'll nuke them? I mean, whoever the case may be. I mean, come on. These people are unhinged and out of their ever-living minds. But then again, I mean, look, what happened there at the when the guy decided to take his rifle to the ball field during the Republican ball game, you know, and almost killed Scalise and wounded a couple others. But nonetheless, from very early on in the call, Braddock was already incoherently babbling about receiving money from his fellow Freemasons, as well as some kind of scheme to import millions of dollars from Malta and Gibraltar, according to Politico. But that was when this psycho unveiled his secret weapon, an alleged team of Eastern European assassins that operate with a speed and efficiency that could make the world's greatest hitmen blush. Quote, he goes on to say, quote, I have access to a hit squad too, Ukrainians and Russians. Braddock, oh, and I mean, he is a Democrat too, right? Ukrainians and Russians. Braddock allegedly proclaimed during the call, warning Oswelski not to get caught out in public supporting Luna. Luna's going to go down, and I hope it's by herself. When pressed by Oswelski as to how Luna was going to disappear or go down, Braddock reportedly remarked, I call up my Russian and Ukrainian hit squad, and within 24 hours, they're sending me pictures of her disappearing. No, I'm not joking. Like, this is beyond my control at this point. According to the outlet, Braddock then described his team of killers as Russian mafia, close battle combat, Tech-9s, MAC-10s, silencers kind of thing. No snipers, up close and personal, so they know that the target is gone. Politico reported that Luna and Braddock do not have any apparent connection to one another aside from the primary, and it is unclear where his vile hatred for her comes from. The outlet also noted that the recording carries some serious risks of Zolzewski. Not only is secretly recording someone technically a third-degree felony in Florida, but she also reportedly ruined the political ambitions of a complete madman with a propensity toward lethal violence. While police say she did not do anything wrong, the personal and legal consequences for Zolzewski could be dire. I think she did her state and her country a favor, and this whole situation illustrates the need for single-party consent recording laws, as in my home state of Texas. Since the day of the recording, June 9th, both Luna and Oswelski have obtained temporary restraining orders against Braddock. This isn't his first one either. Apparently, an ex-fiancé once filed an injunction against Braddock in California, but it was filed after a contentious breakup and had no merit, according to the statement given by Braddock to the Tampa Bay Times. Braddock, on the other hand, is preparing a lawsuit against Oswelski. Well, you know, it's going to go on here and it's going to read for a bit more. But hey, man, look, yeah, they are totally unhitched, right? I mean, my goodness. But I mean, it just gets crazier, eh? I mean, everything's just going to get crazier and crazier as we continue to move through the space and time that we are currently inhabiting. Most riot and looting cases from last year are dropped by New York City district attorneys. What are you talking about, the district attorneys that were bought off by George Soros? Could that be a possibility? Well, I mean, I don't doubt it one single bit. 1 year ago, parts of New York City felt out of control as crowds of looters were seen smashing storefront after storefront. The mayhem continued night after night from late May into June. At one point, there was even a so-called looting dance party on the streets of Soho. The mobs seemingly pillaged at will. They were caught on tape, some with their faces visible. Others even posted on social media their own videos of their actions those nights. or that night, or them nights. We got the Rolex store. Some in the crowd can be heard screaming in one video. Police were far outnumbered and seemingly unprepared. Hundreds of arrests were made during the looting and riots. Many of those arrests took place in Manhattan and along some commercial streets in the Bronx, where the problems were widespread. Surveillance videos show looters breaking into many locally owned Bronx stores, stores that were left ransacked. NYPD data reviewed by the NBC New York Eye team shows 118 arrests were made in the Bronx during the worst of the looting in early June. Since then, the NYPD says the Bronx District Attorney and the courts have dismissed most of those cases, 73 in all. 18 cases remain open, and there have been 19 convictions for mostly lesser counts, like trespassing counts, which carry no jail time. Jessica Betancourt owns an eyeglass shop that was looted and destroyed along Burnside Avenue in the Bronx last June. "Those numbers, to be honest with you, is disgusting," Betancourt said when told of the few cases being prosecuted. Betancourt is also vice president of the local merchants association. She says local business leaders are upset. Few are being held accountable for the destruction they caused. "I was in total shock that everything is being brushed off to the side." In addition to the NYPD and court data news for New York reviewed, the Bronx District Attorney's Office provided data from the night of June 1st through the 2nd, which included a total of 90 felony and misdemeanor arrests. Of those, 28 were outright dismissals. 14 were adjourned contemplating dismissal, or known as ACD, which means if they do not get arrested within 6 months or do community service or other condition, the case gets dismissed. The rest of the cases are either pending or the accused pleaded guilty or received a conditional discharge. "We went forward with cases for which we had evidence and a complaining witness. Some cases were dismissed, but we held people accountable because we do not tolerate violence against Bronx business owners," the Bronx District Attorney's Office said in a statement. In Manhattan, many major retailers and local shops were broken into late May and into June. Amid the pandemic, mobs and organized criminals were taking advantage of huge protests rocking the city after the Minneapolis police killing of George Floyd. Yes, St. George. In Manhattan, the NYPD shows data that there were 485 arrests. Of those cases, 222 were later dropped and 73 seeing convictions for lesser counts like trespassing, which carries no jail time. Another 40 cases involved juveniles and were sent to family court. 128 cases remain open. Law enforcement expert and former NYPD chief of patrol Wilbur Chapman voiced anger at the district attorney's dropping of so many looting and burglary cases. "If they are so overlooked that they can't handle the mission that they're hired for, then maybe they should find another line of work," Chapman said. Well, yes. Well, like I said, I mean, I come out and I did some due diligent reporting on it, that a lot of these people that find themselves in these positions were put there by money backed from George Soros and his foundation, okay? All across the nation, Soros' money has put DAs and sheriffs and, you know, county attorneys, I mean, all kinds of folks into their position. So, of course, they're going to be there to work on the behalf of the money that put them into the position for which they reside. So let's see here, but moving on. All right. We're running out of time quickly. We've got a half an hour left till the end of this broadcast. A new documentary details government crackdown on Canadian Christians and likens it to communist China. The underground church is not just in China anymore. The legal organization that has been advocating in court on behalf of jailed pastors and harassed churches in Canada released a documentary earlier this month detailing how the federal and provincial governments are increasingly resembling communist China. The Government War on Worship. which was released by a Calgary-based Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms and can be viewed below or on their website, begins by highlighting how Christians are brutally persecuted in China despite the guarantee of religious freedom in the Chinese Constitution. Well, all and everything going on up there in Canada right now is being dictated by China. It is. I mean, you know, let's not just tiptoe around the bush here. China is in full-fledged. It's got its hooks and daggers sunk into Canada full-on. Like I said, if an invasion of this country ever does come, it will not come from the oceans. It will come from the northern and southern border. And I mean, in all actuality, the southern border is being invaded right now, isn't it? Yes. But, you know, they are cracking down on any form of Christianity, any form of, you know, honest to God, truthful information. My God, we can't say that, no. But anything that's deceitful, twisted, upside down, or left is all right. Seen outside El Paso Border Patrol Station when Kamala Harris arrived was not the welcoming I think she was expecting. No, absolutely not. You got a bunch of people there. I mean, I don't want to say a bunch, but I mean, I'd say at least a couple dozen people here protesting her showing up with flags and signs, you know, saying, Kamala, you know Trump won. F. Biden on a flag, Trump 2020, Latinos, Somos Republican. So let's see here, let's play the audio here, and maybe we can get an idea of what it sounded like as she made her grand appearance to the southern border to work on, to see what her handiwork looks like.
Good morning, America. This is Irene Armendariz Jackson in El Paso, Texas, and I'm here to say, Kamala, you came a little too late. We have had this crisis for years. We need solutions. We don't need you parading in the Border Patrol station or acting like you care. Americans matter. America matters. God bless you, America.
Well, right there. I mean, yeah, you have it. I mean, that's what people need to do, okay? You know, I mean, hey, you're not doing anything. You're just standing there holding a sign. But the thing is this is the truth. This country was taken over by a coup d'etat. It was usurped from it within. And that's the fact of the matter. The election was stolen. There wasn't even an election to even be had. Honestly. You know, and these people think they're going to get a warm reception wherever they go as if they're a god. Well, no. Absolutely not. So let's see here. What else was there? Here's another audio clip from that same thing. I don't know if it's as obnoxious with the whistles and all, but let's just hit play and see what it is. The people there welcoming Kamala to the southern border, you know. Yes, and here comes the motor cavalcade. Hell, they've got more motorcycle cops than they've got patrol on the border itself. Well, they really do. I mean, my goodness. At the very least, 45 motorcycle officers are guiding the queen to the southern border. Not my queen. Ah, man. So was it informed with Anthony from Twitter? It says, this is the current scene outside the Border Patrol Station, El Paso, Texas, where VP Harris will be arriving soon. Seems both left and right protesters, organizers, have finally found the thing that unites them, their dislike of the current administration. More organizers are showing up now. Well, 45, Donald John Trump had a rally this evening. Interestingly enough, it's every Saturday when I'm doing my broadcast, during the time that I'm doing my broadcast. So I don't catch it live. I'm not able to catch it live. But yes, tonight, President Trump is holding his first rally in Ohio on Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. The crowd started lining up to see Trump early in the morning. It will be a historic event. You know, I was watching some of the videos from this, and there are tons and tons and tons of people there. Way more people than Biden and Kamala Harris could ever even think about even getting around a dinner table. Okay. Thousands of people showed up to this thing. And something I found was interesting is long before the president had arrived, there was an unmarked van that had arrived, a minivan, carrying fully decked out military, an ERT team, emergency response and tactics team, unloading with their gear and their rifles and stuff. So, and they're saying, you know, as the line cheers briefly for a group of officers arriving in an unmarked minivan this afternoon ahead of the Trump rally. So, yeah. I just figured I'd play the audio, all right? So, yes, thousands of supporters line up several hours before Trump's revenge rally in Ohio. President Trump is holding a revenge rally in Wellington, Ohio, Saturday evening at 7 p.m. Thousands of supporters lined up several hours before the rally is set to begin. And they have video here of it and everything, right? Yes, so, well, that's the main majority of the thick of the everything I want to get through for the most part. You know, I've got a bunch of things here headline-wise. Was it 10 recent examples of Biden blowing up at reporters? Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, now he's whispering into the microphone. The guy's faculties are not all there, obviously. And yes, John McAfee died. He was suicided, a la Epstein. Found hanging by the neck in a prison cell in Spain. I mentioned that at the very beginning of the broadcast. And it's interesting that building that collapsed in Florida, yes, that purportedly housed an office that stored or had the terabytes of information for his dead man switch that was to be released for all the corruption and all the stuff that he'd garnered and came across. So that'll all still be to be seen, or if not, never seen. And I guess, what was it? There was a guy who ran his car into a crowd of people. Yes, a pickup truck plows into Fort Lauderdale Pride Parade, killing one, injuring two, and narrowly missing, get this, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Police say that it's an unclear yet if the driver acted intentionally. You know, it almost makes me wonder if that Debbie Wasserman Schultz has some information and things that maybe the deep state, the dark left, don't want to get out. Hell, it might have been a hit on her. Who knows, right? We see we're playing in the theater of, what do you call it, the Roman senators almost, in our modern day and age, in our political system. So, I've got all those that I just went through. Everything I just went through in the past 2 hours is done. Now, I've got these here, and these are headlines, of which I'd come across, and it's all in reference to, yes, COVID-19. And in more reference to the vaccination or the stab that will put you on the slab. 4,000 women are being monitored after reporting period problems following the vaccine, menstrual issues. A 13-year-old boy dies 3 days after taking the second COVID shot. Folks, in the vast majority of these articles just came out over just the past week. 15,472 dead, 1.5 million injured, 50% serious, reported in European Union's database of adverse drug reactions for COVID-19 stab. 19-year-old college freshman dies from heart problem 1 month after second dose of Moderna vaccine. Biden officials said we may never know origins of COVID. Now, scientists say he discovered deleted evidence of the earliest known parts of this as it was being put together. Feds open investigation into U.S. health funding grants amid scandal over $800,000 sent to Wuhan COVID leak lab in communist China. Smoking gun, 1 month before COVID outbreak, Fauci and Moderna sent mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates to the Wuhan lab. Top Chinese counterintelligence official defected to the U.S. provided intel on Wuhan lab and China's bioweapons programs. Kami Kamala encourages leftists to knock on doors and harass people to get vaccinated. You come to my door, you're going to get a boot up your ass and you're going to get, you know, sent down the road packing. I ain't taking your damn shot. And I would greatly implore all of my informed audience not to take it either. Because yes, over a certain period of time, you know, maybe it might not be too long or maybe it might be a little while, this thing will kill you. Leaked emails expose executive board of National Psychologist Organization hatred of narcissistic, paranoid, delusional, untreated. Let's see here. Can we get the rest of it here? No. Untreated. Untreatable. Excuse me. Conservatives. You know, us Americans. Palestinian Authority rejects Israel's offer of 1 million vaccine doses. Other countries are already asking for them. Teen suffers severe heart damage after second Pfizer dose. Mother says the hospital is clueless about reporting to VAERS. Teen who had heart attack after Pfizer vaccination, I'd rather have had the COVID. Oh, I can imagine. VAERS data dump for 12 to 17-year-olds includes 7 deaths, 271 serious adverse events following the COVID vaccines. Let's see here. It says, wow, pro-vax doctor says COVID vaccines can insert nanoparticles into the brain. Well, yes, it's been come out and shown now that a cadaver that had an autopsy performed on the person that had had the stab, the shot, the sleever, the twist, whatever you can call this thing to get by with it on any form of anti-social media. Yes, all and every single organ of the body was just chock full of the spike protein of a person who'd taken this and had died and had had the autopsy performed on their body. Wuhan lab found all genes to recreate epidemic strain of coronavirus in 2017. That was 2017, folks. This has all been set up to happen, to help them in many different ways, you know, to throw the election, to try and unseat the duly elected president, Donald John Trump, to scare the ever-living hell out of the masses, to get them to literally walk into the chute and be slaughtered. You know, I found this before in a nice broadcast, and we're quickly getting out of time here. I think it's important to note it. Jewish American warns the vaccines are the new gas chambers, and 150 million Americans are walking right in, spurred by media-hyped COVID-19 fear. Yep, Jews in Germany before World War II did not think that when their guns were first required to be registered, that soon those guns would be taken from them. Those same innocent Jewish people who were German citizens had no idea that after their guns were confiscated, they would be ordered to move to the ghettos reserved for them. And with other people like them, it was official Nazi policy to hate the Jews. They had been ostracized in the media's propaganda. Think leaflets, posters, and films as a burden on society in so many ways. The German people were hand-fed a specific people to hate. Think white Americans and non-vaxxers today. Hitler gave them a scapegoat, the dirty rat Jews. The populace took the bait. Next, those millions of Jews were shipped by the train loads from the ghettos to the concentration camps. This would be their final resting place. Hitler's pharmaceutical right arm created toxic vaccines made of chemical concoctions, and they injected those chemicals into Jewish children's arms just to see what would happen. Of course they died after being tortured and abused. Well, you know, I still cannot get over how reminiscent this is of the Aktion T4. Aktion T4. The program that Nazi Germany ran from, I think, what was it? I think it was, technically it started, I believe, in 1936, if I'm not mistaken, either 36 or 39, but it was ran, and it was to get rid of the feeble-minded, the elderly, the infirm, those that were not able to take care of themselves. And then it turned into the absolute monstrosity of what we did see for what the Holocaust was at that time. You know, now look, you have a lot of people out there that will say, hey man, it didn't happen at all. It didn't happen to any extent. Look, I've seen the videos of the bulldozers pushing bodies, okay, after the camps were liberated. Now, I don't know how many people died. I wasn't there loading the rifle shells. I wasn't there dropping the Zircon B on the top of the chambers. You know, and I wasn't there loading the bodies onto the carts. But a hell of a lot of people did die. Okay. And a lot of this technology and its expertise of the people that were running said programs, well, where did they go at the end of the war? Oh, that's right. Operation Paperclip. They were brought here stateside to continue to perfect their dances with death. Oh, wow. But no, you know, tonight's broadcast, quite a bit of information and news within all that. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Hope everybody's enjoying this year, this summer, you know, enjoying your time with your families and your loved ones and taking the time to get out and escape and get away from the day-to-day mundane forms of life as we see here. Being conducted on a daily basis across the country. I mean, look, you have to have a release. You have to have an escape. Don't let any of this or all of it for that fact of the matter, don't let it consume you. You can't. It will drive you mad. But there is nothing wrong with being, you know, due diligent, striving for knowledge and information, and trying to be aware of the goings-ons of the day. You know, and that's what we try to do here. Try to inform the masses with the goings-ons of the day or the week the best that we can. So therefore, you all might just be a little bit more informed. So, you know, folks, this station is totally listener-supported. Revolution.radio, freedomslips.com is totally listener-supported. It's you that keeps us on air. Visit the site, hit the donate button, and, you know, help keep us on air to keep doing our due diligent work of the real press. You know, true forms of journalism. Because you're not going to get this anywhere else. You're not going to get this from any of the mainstream the mainstream media, the Ministry of Smoke and Mirrors. It just will not happen. Oh, my. You know, had some pretty severe storms over here the past couple of days, and I think a tornado touched down fairly close. You know, I want people to be weather aware as well. Weather aware, situationally aware with everything, for that fact of the matter. But, you know, if you live in a zone that is, you know, preset for certain natural catastrophes that could happen. You know, I mean, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. Be prepared and be ready, because you know we are in this time where anything could happen, unprecedented. You know, as somebody telling me that the possibility of the Capitol being completely shut down and fenced off and, you know, cordoned off and this and that, nobody allowed in, nobody allowed out. Somebody was telling me that there could be a possibility that they could be getting ready to do something major in D.C. to further the onset of the collapse of this country, right? Because, well, what do they need? Well, they need the Great Reset. And they are working very hard to get their Great Reset. But I won't be having any of it, as well as none of you will. So, folks, with that being said, I want to thank you for tuning in this evening and catching the two-hour broadcast of The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1. Folks, we're in Defense Condition 1. And it's going to be us who are going to have to hold this thing together when it completely goes to fall apart. So, until then, we'll see you next week, next Saturday, same time, same place, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1. And I figured I'd just take us out tonight with a little bit of Charlie Daniels, Simple Man.
Call me a redneck, a reckon that I am, but this thing's going on, make me mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. We tell our kids to just say no, and then some panty waste judge lets a drug dealer go. He slaps him on the wrist and he turns it back out on the town. But if I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang them up behind a little swing till the sun goes down. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put the Bible away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, a good look tells us all, I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I am, a simple man. Now, I'm the kind of man who'd harm a mouse, but if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side. Don't go pushing me against my will. I don't want to have to fight you, but a darn sure will. If you don't want trouble, then you better just pass me on. As far as I'm concerned, ain't no excuse for the raping and the killing and the child abuse. I got a way to put an end to all that mess. You just take them rascals out in the swamp. Put them on their knees and tie them to a stump. Let the rattlers and the bugs and the alligators do the rest. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today. People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, if the book's passed, so I know it's the truth. I'm a simple man.
listening to Revolution Radio.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m.